Hello, everyone. Welcome back to 100% Cars. And yes, you're listening to episode 8. Can you believe it? We are almost at 10 episodes. Thank you all so much for your support. In today's episode, I get to talk with Hannah Elliott, the automotive writer and motorcycle writer. Thank you so, so much, Hannah, for coming on this episode and the podcast. So thank you all for listening to my newest episode. And without further ado, let's get started on this truly awesome episode. When did you start becoming an automotive writer? Was that always your passion?
Well, you know, it's a funny thing. I was never into cars growing up. I was into journalism. And I studied journalism in college. And when I got out of college, I got a job at Forbes magazine. And they hired me because I had a journalism degree. And the person who hired me was the editor for the car section. And so he taught me everything that he knew. And for about 3 years, I followed him around and learned everything he knew. And when he left the company to go work for another company, I took his spot. It wasn't my plan, but I was really happy that it worked out the way it did.
I see. And so I also heard you also write about motorcycles, so I thought that was pretty interesting. And how did that play into becoming an automotive writer? Did you first write about cars and then motorcycles?
Yeah, that's a great question. So probably 5 years after I started writing about cars, I kept getting this email from someone I didn't know. His name was Mark Boucher, and he kept emailing me saying, "Hey, you should learn how to ride a motorcycle." And I was just like, "Get out of here. Stop bothering me. I don't need this. I'm not looking for this." And he worked for a organization called the Motorcycle Industry Council, and their entire job is to get more people riding motorcycles and to learn how to do it safely and well. And, you know, he just kind of kept bugging me enough so that one of those times I said, "All right, fine. And he set up a 2-day training class for me with a woman named Christine Firehawk. And this is when I was living in New York, and Christine and I went out in a parking lot in upstate New York in Dutchess County. And Christine is an older lady who has ridden her entire life, and her mother rode before her. And I learned on a Ducati Monster motorcycle, and it turned out to be a really fun and rewarding experience. It's not something I thought that I would do, but it's really been a great way to expand my work and Bloomberg's coverage. So I was really happy to do that. And I love riding the bikes too. That's a good question. Well, I do focus on primarily luxury cars. For the reviews that I write for Bloomberg, it's new models. So for instance, you might have heard the new Land Rover Defender. Yes. This weekend I'll be out in the desert driving that in some off-road areas to get a sense of, you know, does it live up to the hype? Does it live up to, you've been hearing about it for a year, you know, is it as cool as they say it is? Is it as cool as the old one? So I really try to focus on, for the reviews, it's reviewing modern cars, luxury cars, and then, you know, I kind of like the vintage stuff too, because I think it has a lot of personality. Yeah, so I like both.
I see. And did you always start off with writing about luxury cars, or was it first vintage cars? What was it really first?
You know, it was first luxury cars, and that goes back to my old days working for Forbes. The editor who hired me then, his job was to do the car reviews. And, you know, the funny thing is there are a lot of new cars that come out every year. Yeah. And I kind of think people should know if they're good or not. Yeah, and people should know, you know, are they worth the money? And do they do what the automakers say they're going to do? So it's pretty time consuming. And it's really fun too. And, you know, I think we're at a time right now with electric cars coming out, and there are lots of supercars and hypercars, and there are cool SUVs. And I mean, there's something for everyone. in this day and age, it's a really fun time to be writing about new cars.
For sure. And then I wanted to touch on one of your recent articles. You wrote about the $325,000 Ferrari made out of bronze. And how, like, I was so curious, how did you end up finding that person or museum, and how did you start writing about that?
That's a great question. You know, that story is a case of following a contact throughout the years of my journalism career, because the artist who made that car out of bronze also did this piece where he blew up a Ferrari and he put it in a big box with lights. And he did that, you know, 8 years ago. And I wrote a story about him doing that 8 years ago. And we kind of stayed in touch. And this is a great example of, you know, when you're a reporter, you really try to stay in touch with your contacts, because, you know, they're always doing new stuff. And actually, that artist's studio where he fabricates the bronze Ferraris is very close to where I live in downtown Los Angeles. So I had just, you know, we're friends, and I said, hey, what are you working on that's new? And he showed me that, and I was like, wow, people need to see this. Yeah. It's pretty cool, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, it was very cool.
Yeah.
And so I guess what brings me to my next question is, so you said keeping in touch with your contacts. So the more people you know, does that allow you to have access to more interesting stories or stories in general?
Yeah, absolutely. And I have to say, a good reporter is only as good as your contacts. It's people you can trust, who have good information, who are on the inside of certain circles. I mean, I'm the writer, so I can't be everywhere. I can't see everything. I can't be inside every scene and every circle, but the people I know can be. So I really do try to stay in touch, and I genuinely like talking to them, finding out what's new in their life, what they're excited about, you know, hearing the latest gossip of whoever's doing what in the car world. And it is really important. Good contacts can give you really great stories that you would never know about otherwise. So that's one part of journalism I really like. Mm.
And so I want to go back to you as an automotive writer, and some of the cars you own, and what is their significance to you?
The ones that I own?
Yeah.
Well, that's a great question. I only own one car. And right now it's old green Rolls-Royce Silver Shadow. And that car, I traded in an old black Mercedes to get that car. But I only own one car, and it's special to me because it's the only one. And you know, I get to drive cars all the time, new cars. But for me, in my personal life, I like the vintage stuff because it has real personality. It has real style. You can't just go out and buy one new, you know, you kind of got to look for it. You got to hear about it. It takes some extra work. You know, the funny thing is, when I lived in New York for 15 years, I never owned a car ever in New York City.
Oh, yeah.
So to own one now that I'm in Los Angeles, it's really nice. And it feels like, you know, it feels like, all right, I got something of my own. It's exciting. It's interesting to me. It reflects my personality. It's great.
Yeah, and I would love to know what your first car was, as you know, first starting off.
My first car in high school, I paid $100, and my sister paid $100, and I had to share it with her. It was a green Buick Skylark that I was very embarrassed to own. I thought it was not cool. And I was embarrassed to drive it around my friends, and it just felt like not a cool car. It was like, you know, from the 60s. But my sister thought it was cool, so she actually bought out my half, which I was happy to have her do, and she still had to drive me around in it, which was great.
Yeah.
So, but you know, in hindsight now, when I think about that car, I think it was actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
Looking back.
Yeah. And so you said you weren't really as interested in cars at a young age and starting off writing, but was there anyone else in your family who really loved cars?
That's the crazy thing. I mean, I've got a brother, my dad and brother and my uncles and my cousins are really into sports. I come from a really big sports family, so super into basketball. Like, my whole family is really tall. My brother's 6'8". So, you know, my cousins are 6'7", 6'6". My dad's 6'4". Yeah. So they're all really tall and they're all obsessed with sports. So no, they were not into cars at all. I mean, my dad drove a minivan when I was a kid, which also was not a very exciting car. So no, it's kind of nuts. But you know, the thing about cars that I really like is everyone has a car story. Even if you think you don't like cars, I mean, everyone's going to remember the first car they learned to drive on, or like the car that their cool uncle had, or the car that, you know, like their, that crush, that person they had a crush on drove. You know, you're going to remember that. They're memorable things.
Yeah. And so as an automotive writer today, have you been able to go outside the country to view any cool cars and drive them for like a week?
Well, it's tough with coronavirus now. Before the pandemic, I was traveling probably once a month outside of the country to review cars. And it's great. It's really fun. I mean, last year alone, it was like Greece and France and Italy and England and Germany and Mexico and, you know, all the great places that we can go. But since coronavirus has happened, it's been zero. Which is, it's too bad, you know, it's too bad because I think travel is a great thing for anybody and I really like it. I've done one car trip so far this year, and that was last week to Austin, Texas. Rolls-Royce just debuted their new Ghost. I did do that. Yeah, and this weekend I'll be in Palm Springs to drive the new Defender. So trips are slowly coming back. But in terms of international ones, man, it's really hard with the quarantines required to travel. So nothing yet.
Yeah. And so, for example, your trip to Palm Springs for the Defender, how is that planned? Like, do you have someone who's planning that trip out for you, or are you the main one planning out everything for yourself and then you're driving there and reviewing it?
They plan it for this particular style of launch. They plan it for you, which is great. They say, hey, show up here on this day. We'll have the car for you. It's completely disinfected. You'll be in it alone. We're going to have a driving route for you through the desert because we want you to try the car off road. So, you know, they probably will throw a luncheon or some sort of, you know, sandwich or something in the car, hopefully some water.
Yeah.
And there'll be some sheets of paper that say like the specs of the car, how the performance numbers, pricing, all that. And there'll be a route book or a map or something. Maybe it'll be programmed into the car's navigation, and then they'll say, all right, see ya. Yeah. And you head out and you just kind of, I mean, sometimes, you know, journalists make their own trails too. Sometimes people stop along the way for an extra coffee or to see something. But that's how it'll work. And it's going to be pretty, low contact, I think, a lot of social distancing, but better than nothing.
Yeah. Sure. And so, if there's a car you really want to review, do you ever go to Bloomberg and say, hey, I really want to review this car. Am I able to do it? Is that possible?
Yeah, sometimes. I mean, I've been asking to review the Defender, not to stay on the topic, but for a long, long time, and they've just been really delayed because of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have to say, automakers these days are really, really good about getting me in cars, you know, really soon.
Yeah.
And so I don't have to ask too much. I'm pretty spoiled. And it's because Bloomberg, I mean, it's not really me. It's because Bloomberg's a respected news organization, and I take a lot of pride in that. And, you know, people want their cars to be reviewed in Bloomberg, and that's great. Let's see. There have definitely been cars that I've asked to drive, but they're mostly vintage things that, you know, you kind of have to get special permission to.
Oh, I see.
Like some of the old Mercedes cars, like there's this car called a C111. It's from the 70s. It has gullwing doors, and it looks, I would never have guessed it was a Mercedes. Yeah. That kind of thing that I get to drive, it's a big ask. And so sometimes for special, they'll let me drive it.
I see. Okay. And so I have another follow-up question for what you just said. And have there been any other automakers that you're able to go and say, hey, can I drive this vintage car of yours?
Definitely. Rolls-Royce, I've driven some of their vintage things. Let's see. Oh, Jaguar. Jaguar's awesome. They did a drive where we started, it was in England, this was last year. We started in Coventry at where their headquarters are, and we drove every version of their, every major sedan of theirs from like the 50s. And we drove them across country, and we got to see all these historic sites. And to me, that was really cool because it was, it meant that Jaguar was proud of its heritage, yeah, proud of its old cars, and also none of them broke down, which was pretty incredible. We did, yeah. I think the worst thing that happened was there might have been some windshield wipers that didn't work one day. But other than that, it was great, and yeah. I love that. It means that you're confident in your products.
Yeah, that's really good. And so with that said, with that awesome experience you just had, what are some of the coolest cars you've been like ever able to drive, whether it's reviewing them or just, you know, being able to drive them?
Well, of course, my mind immediately goes to Bugattis. You know, those are a car that kind of everybody knows, the Veyron and the Chiron. And those cars are, you know, $2 and $3 million cars. Everyone knows about them, and they are truly on a different level. It's a different experience completely to get behind the wheel and drive them. So I've never been able to keep one overnight. They always keep a very close tab when they give me those ones. So it's more like you only get an hour with it. But those are very, very special that I'm grateful to have driven those cars. You know, tomorrow, one thing I'm looking forward to is for the Ferrari Roma, which is their new model. I'll go pick that up in Beverly Hills tomorrow and have that for the day. So that's one that I'm also really looking forward to. I'll have to let you know how that goes.
Yeah, awesome. And so when you're reviewing cars, do you have a route? If you're in LA, do you have a route you drive them on? Or is it just, you know, wherever?
There's no set route, but a lot of times I take them up Highway 2, Los Angeles Crest. That's the road that goes to Wrightwood, and you can take it up to Idlewild, and there are lots of really good curves on that road. Of course, you know, the classic Mulholland Drive, Deer Creek Road coming off of PCH. I mean, everyone kind of knows about them, but they're pretty incredible driving roads, you know, and I've been everywhere driving cars, and truly some of the best driving roads in the world are in California, which is awesome. I like the canyons. I think really, I mean, PCH is really nice, but everyone knows you're not going to drive very fast or interestingly on that road. Yeah. Too much traffic and too many cops. Yeah. So nice views though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, as a reputation, as an enthusiast, does that allow you to review more cars? So if the more you, you know, worked at a certain magazine, does that allow you to review more cars?
Yes, definitely. That's one of the great things about being a reporter. I think you kind of get out what you put into it. And if you do it for some time, I've been doing this for going on 16 years now. If you really do it for some time and you do a pretty good, you try to do a good job, you have a good reputation, it builds on itself. And people start to know you, and that's a great thing. You get back out of it what you put in, and you know, if you just keep doing it for a while, it pays off. So it's good.
And has there ever been a point though when reviewing cars that you're like, wow, this is getting, you know, tiring, or has it always been like, oh, I'm always gonna love reviewing cars?
Yes, definitely. I mean, I'd be lying if I said. Sometimes I'm just like, I don't care about this, you know. I'll tell you why, because a lot of cars in the sort of mass luxury segment look and feel the same these days. And that can get kind of boring. And it's really, you know, if you're talking about sort of a mid-size crossover SUV, you know, if you take the badges off, sometimes you can't even really tell the difference between them, either in how they look or how they drive. And they feel more like appliances than driving machines. So yeah, it's definitely true that sometimes I'm just like, wow, this is not exciting. But then you have days too where you're like, wow, this is incredible, you know? Yeah. So just like life.
Mm, yeah. All right. And then, since you, I know you only have one car, but is there a car you want in the future, whether it's vintage or, you know, a new car?
To own or to drive?
To own.
Yes, I want a 1981 Rolls-Royce Corniche. Wow. And they're cool, like, you know, old rock stars had them and models, and I'm kind of on a Rolls-Royce kick these days with styling. You know, they're big cars, but they have a lot of style, and it drives so smooth. I just think they're cool. You know, not a lot of people have them. So that's my answer.
Yeah. And has there been any super cool car collections you've been able to see around the world?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like you can pick your flavor. Of course, you know, Magnus Walker has great Porsches. Yes. I get to see those a lot. Let's see, other car collections. I will say the Mercedes-Benz Classic Center in Irvine is an incredible Mercedes collection, and it's open to the public and it's free. And so anyone who wants to see really cool old Mercedes cars, like the old cars they used on rallies, or old sedans or old SL cars, the 300 SL with the gold wing doors, anyone can go see that collection, which I love. But the person with the best collection that I've ever seen is Jay Leno. And, you know, I've been to his place in Burbank a couple times, and he has everything. I mean, every type of car from every era. And he probably has about 100 motorcycles on top of that, which sometimes people don't talk about or know, but he also has some really important motorcycles that were really historic. He's got Harleys and sidecar motorcycles and old British bikes. So by far the best car collection that I've ever seen is hands down Jay Leno.
And I'd love to know how you were able to see his garage. Like, how did that happen?
Well, I've been there a few times. When I probably 10 years ago when I was at Forbes, I interviewed him. He was in the magazine and we did some video and we just covered him. And this is kind of when he was launching his Jay Leno's Garage. So I'd have to check the dates on that, but, you know, some years ago. So it was kind of new and it was like, wow, Jay Leno, he's doing a car thing now. And so I went out and I got to interview him then and see the cars. And then, you know, he was nice enough to invite me back to, you know, talk on his show too, which is really fun. And he's always, and I've gone with Magnus a couple times, you know, Magnus and Jay, I think, really understand each other. So he's always been really friendly and welcoming, and he's kind of just a real down-to-earth person when it comes to cars.
And I want to finish up with saying, has there been an inspiration on how you write and review cars?
Well, you won't know who this is, but her name's Joanne Mueller, and she was the Detroit bureau chief for Forbes when I was at Forbes, when I just started, when I was really young, and she has written about cars, I think, her entire career. She's a journalist, and she is not famous, but she's amazing. She is a complete professional, so smart, so hardworking, and she is just a working journalist that is really kind, and she really took me under her wing and showed me how to be a journalist. And Joanne Mueller, you know, she's not famous, but to me, she's a star.
Thank you all for listening to that wonderful episode and interview. I hope you all enjoyed, and I'm so, so grateful for the people I'm able to interview. So thanks again, Hannah. I had such an awesome time, and I hope all of you enjoyed, and I'll see you guys all in my next.